A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times, or have denied three times that you know me." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. So before I begin my sermon, I actually ask you to either write down or think in your head three weaknesses that you have. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to share them out loud. Just write down three weaknesses you have. Physical weaknesses, spiritual weaknesses, whatever you feel comfortable writing or thinking about. Hopefully you had a chance to write down those three things or think of three things. Let us pray first before my sermon. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that these words reflect your truth, the truth that you have given us through the scripture. And Lord, I ask that you hear the reflections that we are thinking to ourselves and that these reflections be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So hopefully you had a chance to write down three weaknesses that you have. And they say of the weaknesses that people have, they kind of fall into three categories. The first category is a weakness that you have but can be improved, can be changed into a strength. For example, if someone says, "You know, I don't have the upper body strength, I'm not a strong person, I can't lift things very well." They can easily improve that or change that by working out, by practicing lifting smaller things first and then gradually upgrading to larger and heavier things, by lifting weights each day, by doing exercises to improve their muscles. So soon, their weakness of not having upper body strength and being able to lift things can be changed. They can have the upper body strength. Then they say that there are some weaknesses that we have that will never ever be fixed, whether it's because of what happens to us biologically or what happens to us socially. So, I might say, "Well, one of my weaknesses is that I'm short or petite." I like to say petite. But there's nothing I can ever do to change that. I know I'm past my puberty growing stage. I know even if I wear 3-inch heels, I'll be a little bit taller, but not a lot taller. There's nothing I can ever, ever do to change this weakness if I see it as a weakness. And then they say there's that third weakness that many of us have where we think we're weak in one area and we really then try to improve and we think we've improved, but really we haven't. For someone who can't sing at all, but they say, "Okay, well, I'm going to take lessons and I'm going to become a great singer." And even after a year of lessons, they still sing the same and they try to sing to their friends and family, and their friends and family love them so much they say, "Oh, yes, 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 you've improved. You're great now." but if we're honest, they're still a bad singer. There are some strengths that even though we think we've improved on, haven't. But strengths fall into different categories, and we are in a culture that is obsessed with being strong. We watch TV shows like Survivor, The Amazing Race, even Top Chef, about endurance, about who's the strongest and can complete the task, or the chef that's the strongest and can complete the challenge and have the greatest meal that they cook. You know, we watch shows like this. We have sports events that celebrate strength, that celebrate the more strongest people. Even as we speak now, Sunday morning, millions of people are watching football games, and it's the strong, defenders that will block the balls or tackle their quarterback that win the game. We have the Olympics that will be coming into LA in a couple of years, where we will celebrate the strength of athletes who can lift the most things, who can bat the most things, who can run the fastest. We celebrate the strength of athletes. And if you walk anywhere, see ads or see TV shows or newspaper or even are approached by people, we have advertisements or invitations for fitness store places. There's 24-hour fitness, there's LA Fitness, there's Curves, there's Gym World. There's all these invitations to be part of a gym to grow stronger with muscles and physical strength. We are a culture that celebrates strength, that puts strength on a pedestal, that makes people aim to be strong physically. But I'm challenging us to think this morning not about strength, but about weaknesses, about what our own personal weaknesses are and how we can learn from them. To be like Simon Peter in this morning's scripture passage, when he was accused of being weak in faith, and yes, he did fulfill that prophecy of being weak in faith, but then how later in his life, in his ministry as a disciple, he turned that weakness into a strength. We continue this sermon series by looking at the different people that God called when he said their name not just once, but twice. When he said Abraham, Abraham. When he said Moses, Moses. When he said Jacob, Jacob. When he said Martha, Martha. And this morning, Jesus himself says, Simon, Simon. To see how we can learn from these people that were called by God and how God calls us ourselves. Because we have to realize when God calls us, he wants to deepen our relationship with him. When God calls us, he knows that we are weak and he wants to make us strong. And when God calls us, he's calling us to do an amazing thing for him, to spread his love to the world, to help people understand his love and mercy. So when we talk about being weak, we want to be weak first because then we can be strong for God to grow in faith through our own weaknesses. So when we look at this morning's scripture passage, it is a setting of the Last Supper. Jesus has done his ministry. He went from that baby boy picture that you saw during children's time to the adult as a minister who was calling the disciples. He did, they say, about 3 years of ministry as an adult with these disciples. The disciples were faithful to him. The disciples were with him nearly every day. The disciples learned from him. They truly believed in what he was teaching. So they come to this point where they do not realize it, but Jesus knows it is the Last Supper, the last meal he will share with them. And as they are sitting together in the Last Supper, they are talking amongst themselves. They soon even begin to fight amongst themselves. It says a dispute arose amongst them about which one of them was regarded as the greatest. They were fighting over who was the greatest disciple, who was the most faithful to Jesus. They were fighting about this, and Jesus then says to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors." He is reminding them that don't be like these kings of the Gentiles. Don't be like the lords who have benefactors before them, who argue that they are the greatest. They seek to be the greatest, to have that power and prestige. They don't seek it to be doing these things for the glory of God. They do these things for the wrong thing. They think they are the greatest because they have the highest esteem in society or the highest position or the most wealth or money. But no, Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't be like them. Why are you fighting to see who is the greatest of my disciples? He says to them and said, among you the greatest must be like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. He is reminding them of being more humble, like a young person who is new in faith, who is yearning to learn new things, who is humble in what they do, to be like a young person, and to also be like the leader who serves. Now that, in those times, was rarely said. For in those times, it was the leaders who ordered people around. It was the leaders who had to make all the decisions. It was the leaders who had all the powers. The leaders would never, ever serve someone. But Jesus is saying, no, you must be like a leader who is willing to serve someone. For Jesus continues and he says, for who is the greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. He is reminding them that they are seeking to be at the table, at the head of the table, present with Jesus. But instead, they are seeking the wrong thing. Jesus is saying, instead, you must be like the young, humble person, eager to learn, eager to have more faith. And you must be like the person who serves, who help each other, to serve one another, and to love one another. They say that in Mark 9, verse 35, Jesus is sitting down with the 12 disciples and he says to them, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, the servant of all. All throughout his ministry, Jesus was teaching the disciples and the people that he spoke to about the first shall be last and the last shall be the servants of all. He is reminding them that it is not important to win the race, but it is important to run the race and to serve each other. And Jesus is even saying that I among you, am serving you. He continues to say then to them, after this quarrel continues about who is the greatest disciple, he says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer upon you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is recognizing the faithfulness of the disciples. He is applauding them for this. In a way, he's even thanking them for this. He knows they have been with him through all his trials. The disciples were weak, they say, because they had no authority. When Jesus was put on trial, when Jesus was questioned, when Jesus was not let into some temples because of his radical views, the disciples didn't have the authority to say, no, he should be allowed to speak. No, he should be allowed to be in the temple. Or no, you need to stop questioning him. The disciples were weak, but Jesus wanted them to understand they still had the authority to speak of faith, because they had been with him through all his trials. He is saying that your weakness of not having the authority that the priests and the scribes and the other leaders had was okay to turn that lack of authority, a weakness they might say, into a strength. Jesus then goes on to say there's a certain disciple, and he calls that disciple by name twice in verse 31 from this morning's scripture passage. When Jesus says, Simon, Simon, listen, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And Simon said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. But Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you know me. Jesus is telling Simon, and he calls him not just once but twice, Simon, Simon, the Satan has demanded of the people, you are going to deny me. And Peter says, no, I will not deny you. I am ready to go with you to prison and death. But Jesus knows that Peter will deny him and says, once you have turned your back, but you will strengthen your brothers. This weakness that Simon will have, well, he will deny knowing Jesus, not just once, not just twice, but three times. The weakness in faith, the lack of conviction he has when he asks if he knows Jesus, will then later be turned into a strength he will have for his fellow brothers and disciples. You know, it's a puzzling thing for Simon to hear in this morning's scripture passage, because he is one that Jesus confided in often. He is one that Jesus even said, you are a rock. You will be a foundation of the church that is to be built. A great passage that many people know is from Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 19, where Simon Peter is the first of the disciples to say to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Simon Peter is showing his great faith, and Jesus answers him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." What a great endorsement! If there is this argument that's happening at the Last Supper table about who is the greatest disciple, who serves Jesus the most, I can imagine Simon Peter saying, "Well, remember back then when Jesus said, 'I am the rock,' when 'I am the foundation,' when he says to me, 'On this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail'?" I can just imagine Simon Peter using that as an argument in that debate the disciples had at the Last Supper to be able to say he is the greatest of the disciples. He is the most deserving of Jesus' love. We know that in the passage, Simon does not say that, and maybe he was thinking of saying it, but of course he's cut off when Jesus says that you will deny me three times. But it is okay. Jesus is pointing out a weakness that Simon Peter has, a time in his life where he will be weak in faith, where he will lack conviction, where he will deny knowing Jesus, where he will care more for his own life than the life of Jesus, and not let the other people asking that he knows Jesus. But it is okay. God called Simon Peter at that point to be weak, to deny knowing Jesus. Because in that time when he denied knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times, out of that came such great sadness, such great remorse, such great desire in him to then the next time when questioned about knowing Jesus, he would be strong. Simon Peter took a weakness, a lack of faith and conviction, and turned it into a strength, because later Peter became one of the greater disciples that continued the ministry of Jesus after Jesus' death. I always encourage people to read the Gospels, but also read Acts and Romans especially, about how the new church began. And if you read those two books of Acts and Romans, you will see many times it is Peter who is calling the crowd to gather. It is Peter who is teaching the crowd to do things. It is Peter who is organizing the crowd. He was so weak when he denied knowing Jesus during Jesus' time of trial, but yet he remembered that weakness, and he knew he did not want to be like that again. He was called to be weak first and then to be strong as he was leader of the church. I invite you now to look then again at those weaknesses that you wrote and think about if any of the weaknesses that you wrote or thought about could be turned into a strength. They say that often in our lives when you experience something where you are very weak, it then can help you be stronger later. They say a cancer victim, as they struggle through cancer and experiences physical weakness and spiritual weakness and an emotional weakness, and when they then thrive and survive cancer, they are the best ones that can counsel other people going through cancer. They are the stronger ones that can counsel the people who are going through the same thing that they experience. That cancer persons then even prefer being counseled by a person who has experienced cancer over someone or a doctor or a nurse or a psychiatrist who's never had cancer before. The cancer persons are the stronger ones. Or would you rather be taught by someone who has never experienced or learned the lesson? I'd rather be taught by a student who might have went through school and not gotten the best grades and maybe suffered and got some D's and C's on tests, but they completed their degree, than taught by someone who's never ever even tried. You want to be with the person who is weaker because you know out of that weakness they grew and became a stronger person. They say that there was a person, if you remember the story of Rosetta Parks, in December 1st, 1955, after a long day of work in Montgomery, Alabama, she was a seamstress and she had worked long time hours in the shop, sewing things and working at a sewing machine, sometimes standing or sometimes sitting, but she was very tired when she got on a bus on December 1st, 1955. She was a small, weak, unassuming woman, an African-American woman getting on the bus this day in Montgomery, Alabama. And in the 50s, during the time, there was a law, an unfortunate law, where whites were allowed to sit in the front of the bus, and African-Americans or blacks were always asked to give up their seats in the front and sit in the back of the bus. And on that day, she sat in the front of the bus because she was tired. She had worked all day. She was weak physically, and even probably emotionally because of a long day of work. So then when more white people came on the bus and she was asked to sit in the back, she didn't move. And what started for her just being physically tired turned into a greater movement. It turned into the civil rights movement. The movement had, yes, already begun, and Martin Luther King had been talking, and other people had been talking about how unfair things were happening. But her story became so well known that it inspired other people to be part of the civil rights movement. And it was just a moment for her of weakness, of not wanting to move from the bus because she was so tired from a long day of work, and then also tired spiritually by what was happening to her people, not wanting to move again and again and again to the back of the bus. But she turned a weakness into a strength and became a symbol for civil rights, a symbol for justice, a symbol for equality. That weak thing that she first did, a tired, weak woman being on the bus and not wanting to move, became a strength. And we are called to have strength as well. So when you think about, oh, well, I can't go out and talk to people in the neighborhood about my church because I'm not a good speaker. Maybe it's okay. Maybe someone on the street would prefer to hear from someone who's not aggressive in their speech, from someone who just speaks truly from the heart about their own faith experience. To take that weakness of not being a good speaker, but showing how humble you are, and it can be a strength, and it makes you even more approachable then to people on the street that you want to minister to. We are all called to think about our weaknesses and how we can be weak, but also be strong. To turn that weakness into a strength, to be like Simon Peter, who was weak when he denied Christ, but remembered that moment and became stronger in his conviction of Christ later. So then we can always say we are strong instead. And we've heard that word strong a lot then in our society. So it's not just we focus on strong and strength as in Olympic races and football games and competitions. But instead we say strong because it means unity. Strong because it means connection. Strong because it means we will never fail. So we've heard words lately about Boston Strong after the Boston bombs, or currently Las Vegas Strong after the Las Vegas shootings. And I'd like to think, then, why don't we think about ourselves as Christian strong? Because when we say we are Christian strong, that means we are unbreakable. No one can break our faith. We know that we've experienced great loss or great tragedy or great trauma, and we know we have weaknesses, but we are strong together, united as Christians. So you know I like to do this. I'm going to close my sermon with this way. But repeat after me. First say, I am weak. I am weak. Then say, but I am strong. But I am strong. Christian strong. Okay. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I am weak. I am weak. Oh, say it with conviction. I am weak. But I am strong. But I am strong. Christian strong. Great. So, during this week, another challenge I give you is maybe go to someone who you know you need to share your faith with and say, I am weak, but I am strong, Christian strong. Think about that as a way to introduce your faith to them, because they're going to say, oh my gosh, you're crazy, but they're going to want to know why you said that and no more, right? Think about that. I am weak, but I am strong, Christian strong. We are called to turn our weakness into our strength, to be weak, to be strong, as Simon Peter was. Let us pray. Lord, we know that you call each and every one of us to fulfill the mission of spreading the gospel, to share the good news of your love and mercy for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And Lord, we sometimes doubt our faith or sometimes doubt our strength, and we know that we need to lift up our weaknesses, to be weak first, to be able to be strong for you. So we know, Lord, that we are strong in our faith, in our conviction, and we can be Christian strong as we spread the news of Christ's love available for all. We thank you for this wonderful gift in your Son's name. Amen.